Oh, here we go. Packers, Buccaneers, Raymond James Stadium, 425. There's a lot of cheeseheads here. You know they travel. Buccaneer faithful has been waiting for this game. It's Aaron Rodgers and the Packers. It's the GOAT and Brady and the Buccaneers and the Buccaneers with their defense. It's a great later start on a Sunday. The tailgating is going to be out of control. Everybody, not everybody, but most are going to be lit going into this stadium, and I cannot wait. And welcome to Bucks Kickoff. In depth, everything you need to know about the matchups. I've got my Under the Rock segment, which I tell you what I've seen, what I've heard, being inside One Buck Place, being in the locker room, being there. So it's Bucks Kickoff only on JoeBucksFan.com. Thank you so much, and we are ready to get to it. I'm also going to tell you about a place, if you have not been to, that has the best burgers in all of Tampa Bay, Burger Monger. So let me first, let's just say, this game is really, everybody is billing it. It's Brady versus Rodgers. No, it's not. It's Brady against the Packers defense, and it's Aaron Rodgers against this Buccaneer defense. And I'm going to start with defense. I was in the locker room this week, and every Buccaneer defensive player that I talked to, or we talked to, media members, they were saying how they feel so confident that going into camp, the number one thing that Todd Bowles told his defense, what he wanted them to work on, is communication. Know your role. Don't have anybody guessing. Communicate. All right? And they have taken that to heart. This group, according to Bowles and some of the coaching staff, they spend more time in the film room than in previous years with defenses. These guys, they're older now. They all know the system. And they're communicating. And this isn't a fluke of what they've been able to do for the first two games. I'll get more into that. Week one, they gave up some long runs. Last week, the Buccaneers' run defense was a lot better. Passing defense, they're giving up 189 passing yards per game. So they're eighth best when it comes to passing defense. They're forcing turnovers. That was another thing that they really wanted to do. They know that they were getting better last year, but they wanted the takeaways, and that's a sign of a very, very good defense. They're doing it. 6 forced turnovers, that's tied for third most in the NFL. 4 interceptions, that's tied for best in all of the NFL. The Buccaneers have only allowed 13 points. That's number one in the league. They've got 10 sacks. That is number one in the league. 6 takeaways and 1 return for a touchdown. All right, so that's it in a nutshell. Now, I know every opponent is different. The first two opponents offensively, like the Cowboys, even before Dak Prescott got hurt, Jameis Winston throwing his picks, not being able to really come through, you know, okay. But I mean, hey, they're getting it done. It was Jamel Dean. And he's over at his locker, and this was on Thursday. And he was real honest. He goes, the performance they had against Dallas, you know what the defense said? They after the game, they're like, well, it was maybe, was it just the first game? Like, you know, chalk it up to that. And he goes, and then when we did it again after week number two, we're like, ah, we consistent about this thing. Yeah. We got it. We got it. On the other side, Tom Brady, I will tell you this. He looked to me, I'm big on body language, mannerisms, when he came in to the media room to talk to us on Thursday, he seemed happier. He seemed better because prior to that, he looked like there was a weight on his shoulders of off the field. You know what I mean? Now, I'm going to get to the injury report and all that jazz. But Brady, his right finger on his throwing hand is bothering him. Now, he told us, I'm fine. It's football. He's never going to tell you that. NFL Network had a camera crew there. And Brady and the quarterbacks practice way far away from where we are allowed to stand. And you can zoom in on your iPhone. You got to have a good lens. They have a very good video camera. They zoomed in, NFL Network, and they cut a couple of clips. They put them together. I know Joe referenced it on Joe Bucks Fan. And you can see him like wringing his hand, like hand. It's bothering him. Now, he gutted it out, and you would never know in the Saints game after he did it. I know he's like the pretty boy and all this and the good looks. He is very tough. To be 45 years old and to still be playing at this level, besides being great and all that and the skills and the great arm, you got to be a tough SOB. He is. So he is not going to, whatever he has to do to be ready for this game, he said he's fine, but it is something to just keep an eye on. Brady is up on Aaron Rodgers 3-1 when it's just quarterback versus quarterback, and that goes back to his days in New England. You know that these guys have, listen, they're Brady was runner-up to MVP. Rodgers is the MVP back-to-back years. They're two of the greats, and you know they had that golf outing, and they have egos. So Rodgers knows the deal. Tom Brady is first in career touchdown passes in all of the NFL. Aaron Rodgers is fifth in career touchdown passes. But Aaron Rodgers versus the Buccaneers in his career, the one playoff game he was decent, it's not good. It's like the Buccaneers against the Saints defense. It ain't good. Now, Brady and the Buccaneers, even though the offense wasn't good, they got it done. Is Aaron Rodgers going to get over that schneid and play well here at this game at Ray J? We'll see. All right. What I want to do is I'm going to get into some matchups. Oh, and first off, just to let you know, if you didn't hear by now, the Packers only have one definite out, and that is wide receiver Sammy Watkins, the veteran. And with these young receivers, Aaron Rodgers has been counting on him. So Sammy Watkins is definitely out. For the Buccaneers, Godwin is out. Mike Evans is out with that one-game suspension. Julio Jones is a game-time decision with the knee. Akeem Hicks, the defensive tackle, he is definitely out. He's got the plantar fasciitis. So that means more for the rookie. Big left tackle, Donovan Smith, game-time decision. And then, like I said, Tom Brady was listed on the injury report on Friday with the right finger, but he was full go. And Leonard Fournette, he's got the hamstring, but you know what? He had, I believe it was 87 snaps last week, and he was a go. So I don't anticipate any problem with Leonard Fournette. He should be okay for this game. Now, before I get to some matchups, and remember, I got my Under the Rock, behind-the-scenes stuff, man. I'm there, okay? Let me tell you about my favorite burger place, Burger Monger. Chop House burgers that are to die for, and the shakes, Barstool Shakes. There are four locations if you are from Tampa Bay or you're coming in to visit and you're going to make a visit here: Carrollwood, St. Pete, Safety Harbor, and Wesley Chapel. And let's get to the good stuff. Hand-pressed patties, over a third of a pound. A blend of ground chuck and sirloin beef. Every burger is hand-pressed on the grill. It's a perfect char. When they're done, the flavor, you can't beat it. They got a whole bunch of toppings and cheeses, fresh toppings and sauces. Or, you know what? I tried this, man. Just tell them. Let them do the work. They know what's best. Try one of the Burger Monger's delicious house-crafted recipe burgers. Then you got to try the shakes. Burger Monger shakes, all natural, hand-scooped ice cream, hand-spun, thick and creamy. Top it off with whipped cream and a bunch of toppings. And what flavors they got for the shakes? Here you go. Simply Strawberry, Very Vanilla, Chocolate Fudge, Cookies and Cream, Caramel Craves, and Snickers Supreme. And the best kept Burger Monger secret is their amazing chicken sandwiches. Large marinated chicken breast. You can get it grilled, you can get it fresh breaded, or you can get it deep fried to order. And then the craveable sides. My favorite, the natural cut fries. I love them. Sweet potato waffle fries. My wife loves them. Or the house made hand battered onion rings. And for a limited time only, they are running the Burger Monger LFG, Let's Freaking Go Burger. You ready for this? And it's only $12. A burger stack with two patties, 12 ounces, 12 stinking ounces of just deliciousness, chopped lettuce, provolone cheese, applewood smoked bacon, and fresh avocado slices. It's basically two burgers. And all for one. Finished off with a drizzle of peppercorn ranch dressing. It is a winner for only $12. It's Burger Monger. Try it today and you will tell me, thank you very much. I'm glad you told me. All right. I am ready for, let me get to some, you know what? I'm going to get to some matchups, but I want to tell you, I asked this to Brady about the offensive line because even though it's been mix and match, center, left guard, left tackle, and, you know, what's his name that came from, Shaq Mason that came from the Patriots. Of course, you got Tristan Wirfs on the left tackle or right tackle side. But, Bray, I said, your protection has been pretty good. What are you seeing? And he's like, yeah, they've done a really good job. But you know, and that was a good defensive front that we faced against New Orleans. But Brady said this Chicago Bear or this Green Bay Packers defense is totally different. It's a totally different front. And then he went down and you could tell how much studying he's done. I'm looking at this Packers D. And first of all, the Packers defense, much better last week in week two. They only gave up 10 points to the Bears. The Packers have pass rushers, Preston Smith and Rashawn Gary. One of the best in the business. Two sacks for Smith. One sack for Gary. They also have Alexander on the back end. He had an interception. Now, how did they do last week? They held Justin Fields. I know, it was Justin Fields. 7 for 11, 70 yards. But their run defense is suspect, to say the least. The Packers run defense gave up 160 yards to two Bears running backs, David Montgomery and Khalil Herbert. So they can be run on. But there's Packers D. It's this, I think they're calling it like it's a penny front. It's a 5-1 front. Now, I don't want to get too detailed here, but just real basic. The personnel grouping of, they'll use three D linemen, and then they got three linebackers, and then five defensive backs. It's a 3-0-3 D line. Two defensive ends in the B gap, and the nose tackle is over center. Now, when it's against the pass. When Brady and the Buccaneers are passing, the Packers' defensive front will have five single one-on-one matchups against that Buccaneers' offensive line. So it's definitely different than what they went against last week against the New Orleans Saints. All right, here's some of the matchups that I'm looking forward to seeing. Everybody is billing it, like I said, it's Brady and Rodgers. And why not? They're two of the greats in the game today. Now, Brady, going up against this Packers defense, like I said, it's a very good pass rush. The Packers D up front, you got Kenny Clark, you got Jaron Reed, you got some outside edge rushers, the Rashawn Gary and the Preston Reed. The offensive line has given Brady time. Brady only has two touchdown passes. Do you know last year at this time, right now, after two games, Brady had 9 touchdown passes. But as Brady had said, every year is different. You cannot think just on paper, okay, we have this amount of wide receivers, you know, going in. What was the thing? Oh, the Buccaneers have so many weapons. Oh, they have so many weapons. And here we are week number three, and they're pulling look at the injuries. Look at the Mike Evans suspension. See what I'm talking about? So far, he's been relying on Leonard Fournette. Leonard Fournette has got the hammy. He is 13th overall in the NFL when it comes to rushing. This is the first time that either Rodgers or Brady has a passer rating below 100 after the first two games. Now, that's going to change. That is not going to happen the rest of the way. How about Rodgers against the Buccaneers defense? The Buccaneers D, like I said, Mike Edwards, Carlton Davis, Levante David, White, Tryon Soyinka. Those are all the ones that we talk to in the locker room. And they're like, it's, oh, you know what else they're also saying too? Levante said it. Tryon Soyinka said it. They're giving credit to Bowles, who is scheming them, putting them in the right perfect situation, man. But anyway, the Buccaneers defense is allowing just 6.5 points per game. All right, these first 2 weeks, they've allowed only one touchdown. And like I said, they're bringing the pressure. They've got 10 sacks, and it is about communication. And that's what some of those Buccaneer defensive players were saying, that Bowles is, they're crediting Bowles with scheming them the right way, disguising pre-snap, different types of blitzes. This is not your typical blitz that you draw up, that you see on all these all-22s. He's done a great job, man. So give credit where credit is due. Now, the Packers have an elite rushing attack. It's Aaron Jones. It's A.J. Dillon. They're sixth in rushing in the NFL. They're third in yards per attempt. They're also tied for the Packers team lead with six catches each for Aaron Jones, A.J. Dillon. Because what Aaron Rodgers likes to do, he gets rid of it quick. He's not that over the top. Sometimes he's like sidearm. He's quick. And he likes to also throw to his running backs. That's something that the Buccaneer defense is going to have to deal with. The offensive line for the Green Bay Packers has not done a good job in protecting Rodgers. They did get Big Jenkins back last week, and that was a world of difference. Now, he was limited this week with a knee. Nobody is 100%, but it's something to kind of keep an eye on. Fifth worst sack rate in the NFL. But this big Jenkins, he's got the big wingspan. He was, if you remember, he was out for half of last season with a torn ACL. And he was still coming off that, wasn't quite there, didn't play in the first game. There was a big difference when Jenkins played last week. He allowed three pressures and one sack in that game. How about some individual matchups to keep an eye on? All right, I'll go with Shaq Barrett against Jenkins. Shaq Barrett, he is got, I think he's got 11 quarterback pressures, two sacks and one forced fumble last week. So Shaq Barrett is playing at a really, really high level. Here's one to keep an eye on. Buck center Robert Hainsey. Talk about a guy that's been improving. He's done, frankly, he's done better than I thought that he would. He's going to be going up against Kenny Clark. Now, Kenny Clark is the nose tackle for the Packers. Kenny Clark is known for applying pressure. But again, when I'm looking, just looking at these numbers, numbers don't lie. The Buccaneers have allowed only three sacks. One of them was when Brady was trying to run, if you remember that. And the other two sacks were from the edge standout Micah Parsons from the Cowboys. So the Buccaneers defense, Buccaneers offense, that offensive line and help from Lenny and whoever else is in there protecting, they've done a really, really good job for the GOAT. The Buccaneers punt coverage, let's go a little special teams, number one in the NFL. Jalen Darden on punt returns, I had to do a double check on this. He's better than I thought. He's number 11 in all the NFL for returning punts. And Suckup has been money. He missed one. He's 5 of 6. Now, the Green Bay Packers, let's call it like it is, they sucked on special teams. That's why they made a commitment in the offseason to bring in Rich Bisaccia, who is their special teams coordinator. Those of you old schoolers that are listening to me now, remember when Rich Bisaccia was here. He's a great guy, well-liked. I thought he did a great job as the interim head coach. He didn't get any opportunities, but he's a special teams basically guru. And that's why the Packers got him. And so the Packers have been better on that. A couple of more matchups. Aaron Jones, A.J. Dillon, that two-headed monster. Aaron Jones has got in two games, I think he's close to 200, 181 yards rushing. they're going to go up against basically Lavonte David and Devin White, and two of the best in the game. And if you want to stay saying that you're the best in the game, then you're challenged here in this bad boy against Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon. Aaron Jones is averaging 9 yards per carry. Now, their leading receiver so far is Sammy Watkins. He's out. And do you know who the second leading receiver is on the Packers? Aaron Jones, the running back. That shows you where they're still trying to find that identity with the Packers. Here's one more matchup, all right? Brashad Perryman versus Alexander, their cornerback. Now, Alexander last year was a left corner, and they moved him over to right corner. But he hasn't lost anything. He's still a stud. And Brashad Perryman is known for, he's got that big playability. He comes through. He had a 28-yard touchdown pass in that fourth quarter against the Saints, and that kind of put it. That was the nail in the coffin, man. So, and I'll get a little bit more into Brashad Perryman. He's very, very shy, man. And we were asking him about his, is he on the same page with Brady and this and that? And he was telling us this week that last year, when there would be, even during practice, just like a downtime when the offense wasn't out there, that Brady was working one-on-one with Brashad Perryman just to get that chemistry down. And Perryman said it is a big thing. You got to be on the same. You got to have that chemistry with Brady, and he doesn't take it for granted, and it's something that you got to continue to work on. But Brashad Perryman, with all these injuries and the Evans suspension, and what are you going to get out of Gage? They're going to need him in this bad boy. All right, time now for my Under the Rock. This is my behind the scenes because I'm there at the facility. You know, anybody can look up on the internet and you can break down stats and you can see film. But some of the things that I just kind of notice, I keep an eye out. Wednesday was the day. So we get there on Wednesday. Tuesday's the off day. And we get there on Wednesday, and it was like, oh, well, Brady's not practicing. Because remember, that was supposed to be the thing, that Brady, he had never done this before. He was going to take off every single Wednesday until the end of the year. Well, we're watching. They've done all their stretching, their warm-ups. The horn sounds. Boom, they go into their groupings, and they're all doing their drills. And the quarterbacks are on the far away from us. And here comes the GOAT. And he's running out, and he's got his number 12 jersey on, and he's running out. He never runs out with his helmet. I saw him every practice that I saw last year. His helmet is already out there. He doesn't carry his helmet out. I don't know, maybe it's the ball boy. I don't know if it's Guerrero, whoever. But he runs out, and his helmet's already out there by the water jug or the dummies that they're using. And so here comes Brady running out, and he's holding like bands, you know, like those. It looked like that because it's far away, like stretching bands, you know. And I'm like, oh, well, Brady's here. Bowles did say that he's going to be in the facility. He's just not going to practice every Wednesday. Oh, maybe he's just bringing out the bands. He throws the bands down. He gets his helmet. He puts it on. Here he goes. He starts throwing it. When he warms up, he doesn't soft toss it. He throws it like pretty freaking hard. And here he goes. Here he goes. Boom, he's in the drills. Oh, I hear Clyde Christensen. Ball. You know, right, left, left, left. Ball. That means to throw it. And I'm like, he's participating. So then we asked after that practice to head coach Todd Bowles. And he's like, look, some days he might take off on a Wednesday. Other days it might be this day. He might be out there for some reps. Some days he might have a day off. He decides to go out there. And was it because of Cole Beasley? Was it because he had a new receiver? They brought up from the practice squad another guy. Is he got to get used to that? Does he not want to be at home? Which is it? He's so competitive that it honestly did not surprise me. But I know it was a talking point. And, oh, what's going on? And Brady was out there. He was not going to be on the sidelines. Cole Beasley, I think he's wearing number 15. He was there for the first day. We saw him stretching. And it was funny. They blow the whistle, and they start with the punt unit. And Beasley is down there with Jalen Darden. The first thing that he ever did, and a punt comes his way, and he muffs it. And he muffs it, and then he had to avoid, I forget who it was, he had to avoid, it might have been, was it Cokeef? And his helmet came off, and he muffed it, and then he picked it up, and then he was fine. And the next catch that he was fine, but I'm assuming they're going to use him as a returner. He didn't do that on his own, you know. He's a lot shorter than I thought, because when they were stretching, he was right next to Scotty Miller. And I think Scotty Miller might even have a half inch on him. But it doesn't matter. He's had 82 catches. What, the last two seasons? Guy's a veteran. They're going to need him. They're going to be using him. So I think that was a good addition. And it was funny. He was saying that, you know, almost everybody, like a Julio Jones or whoever new that's a veteran that comes here, it's always Brady is the one that reaches out to these guys. And when they get the thing, when they get the call from the GOAT or the social media DM or whatever, they're going to come. Well, this isn't the case for Cole Beasley. Beasley was hitting Brady up on his, he was DMing him on his Instagram. Come on, can you use me? Can you use me? And he said he didn't hear back for a while. And then eventually he did hear back, and then boom, and they made the call. They brought him in, and he's like, you know what? I know that I've got, you know, I didn't lose it, but when you're out that long and no other teams are calling, you actually start wondering, am I going to get a call? Am I going to play this year? And he thinks he is in a perfect situation. And I think that was a good, good, good pickup. Bruce Arians, he got a letter from the league about being on the sidelines and getting into it with the officials. And it just cracks me up. But Arians is there. He's there for the practices this week. He's out on his golf cart and driving around and all the fields. And he doesn't stay in one location. Leftwich does his thing. He walks laps before every single practice. I'm assuming that's just to get his mind right. He likes to just do that. You know what I mean? He's done that. So he's in the same routine as what he did last year. Now, Todd Bowles, when we came in on Wednesday, I don't know, he didn't know, he was sitting down on the patio, and I think he was with either another coach or another assistant or whatever, and it's like, okay, now it's the gate opens, and here we trudge in the media, we're on a back patio, and he kind of looked over and like started like, oh, here they are, and I waved to him, smiled, I waved to left, which he waved to me, but I don't even know if Bowles waved back, but he's just like, oh, I don't want to be around him. Let me get up now. Let me get out on the field. He was just chilling on the back patio. Okay, so we go in the locker room, and it's you know, that I always look at it like that is their domain, that is their safe haven. We are coming into their house. Respect that. That's their place. Even coaches, you never even see coaches. I can't even think of the last time I saw a coach. It's different after a game. Coach may came by, you know, they're going to give the speech, and then sometimes they come by, might want to check on a player that might have been injured. They're on their way to the podium. Then I've seen coaches, head coaches come by. But during a regular weekday, you never see coaches go into the locker room because that's their place. They got these pop darts. It's like cornhole, but you throw them and it sticks, and Scotty Miller's always playing, Gage is playing, and then Devin White is the card guru. Every time I've been in that locker room, Devin White, there's a card table, and it used to be near his locker. Now it's moved into the middle. There's this nice big chair, cushiony chair, and there's another couch there. It was Julio Jones last week. It was Shaq Barrett playing him in cards. And then Julio came down, showed him something in his phone, this and that. But Devin White just loves the cards. And you know what, man? He can do whatever he wants because he is kind of their leader with Levante David. Levante David has a different personality, but they both get it done. Thursday, Just like they did last year. I know Joe mentioned this on Joe Bucks Fan, because when Joe, one of the Lee, when he pulled in, he heard crowd noise and he was kind of like laughing or startled, you know, because they got a home game. I got to tell you, Lee, I was there in that media trailer. They had a trailer last year. The protocols were so much different. It was hard. We couldn't, you didn't have much access. You were tested every week as a media guy just to be on the property. And they played crowd noise before every single game, whether it was home or away. And so they were doing it again. I kind of smiled. I'm like, okay, they must think that it's going to be a loud environment and you're going to have cheeseheads. So they were playing their crowd noise. I mentioned Brady did seem a lot happier. Big Vita Vea. We were over talking to Joe Tryon, and it's funny. We come in. It's a certain amount of time that you're allowed to be in there, 45 minutes, something like that. And it's we call them a media scrum. Like, one reporter's going to go over there, and everybody follows him, boom, boom, boom. So everybody went over to Joe Tryon, and Vita was at his locker, and he was just laughing. He busted or something. And then he came back by me. I got a little bit of Tryon. I stepped away. I was over in the middle of the locker room, and he comes over. He's like, get in there. Go in there. I said, how are you? He goes, go in there. And just laughing. But it's just how it goes. I think we're all used to it now. Like I said, it was surreal in the beginning because you did not have any access to players. But now everybody is used to it, and it's back to the way it used to be. One more thing I was just... a couple of things, like when I'm listening to the interviews from the podium... The one thing that stood out to me was Byron Leftwich when he was asked about Hainsey and Luke Gadecki and Brandon Walton, who had to fill in, these young guys. And he made a good point. He said, I'm very pleased, and I'm very pleased overall. The numbers might not show it with our offense, but I'm very pleased at what we were able to do in two loud environments to start the season. Remember, you can't simulate this. You don't simulate this in preseason. The starters don't play, and the crowd noise isn't like that. You're not scheming. You're not game planning. Everything is vanilla. But to go into Jerry's World in Dallas, to go into that Superdome, the little Caesars, whatever they call that in New Orleans. Those are two loud, indoor, hostile environments, and we didn't have false starts or penalties, and you can't hear. He goes, that's when those type of penalties come up, even sometimes for veterans. And to be able to come out of it like that in those two environments to start the season with new guys, he's like, I'm very pleased. And that stood out to me. No false starts, really hardly any mistakes. That's pretty impressive. Last year, is it going to be a home advantage? Are they going to have the home field advantage? They certainly did last year. The Buccaneers, if you remember, last season they won 7 out of 8 at home. The last time that the Packers were here at Ray J, the Buccaneers had 33 unanswered points. Or no, it was 38. Was it 33 or 38? It was that 38-10 win. I think it was 33. The Buccaneers, 3 straight home games here now, which is going to be nice, okay? And they'll need that. They haven't been here at Ray J since August 13th. And one more note, if you're going to be watching this bad boy on the big screen, it is a Fox game. You got Kevin Burkhardt, Olsen, Aaron Andrews, Tom Rinaldi, but Burkhardt and Olsen, I think they're good. You don't need a lot of different, I think they're good. I think they're good. Alrighty. So we'll see. A lot of people ask me about Cole Beasley. It's going to take a little bit of time because he doesn't know the terminology. It was only like, 3 practices, I guess? Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday isn't much of a practice. But 82 catches the last 2 seasons, a slot receiver. He was with the Cowboys for 7, the Bills for 3 yards. He's very reliable, 75% catch rate, 10 yards per catch. Past 2 seasons, 1,660 yards, 5 touchdowns. Really, really good. I like it. I think it's a good move. And I just, with the wide receiver situation, let's get into this a little bit. I'm sticking by this. I think they could use Tyler Johnson so much right now. This whole thing, they weren't anticipating these injuries. They weren't anticipating, obviously, a Mike Evans one-game suspension. But you're having to take guys off the street like a Cole Beasley, you know? And he was big on, well, Scotty Miller, you know, he didn't play special teams, but whatever. So Breshad Perriman, you're going to be relying on him. Big, strong, he can get by defenders. He had the hamstring problem in camp. That's why we didn't talk about him, because we didn't see him much. But he's, you know, he's able to come up with the big plays. Now, versus the Packers' pass defense, they are allowing, I believe it is close to 12 yards per catch. That's 10th most in the NFL. The Packers had busted coverage in week one against the Vikings, okay? And the thing about it is, I don't know if you've ever seen the Pat McAfee show or listened to it, but I follow it, and especially when Aaron Rodgers is on. And I mentioned this on last week's Bucks kickoff. You cannot overreact on week number one because starters have not played. There's no tackling in training camp. He has a bunch of young receivers that haven't played a lot of football. The line is having breakdowns. And so it's a different team. Most NFL teams are going to be different midseason, end of season, than they are in that week one. So you can't overreact. The Packers were much, much, much better in week number two. But I'm looking at the, you know, I don't know what's up with Russell Gage. I know he had the hammy. He was good. They was good with Atlanta. He's younger than Julio. I'm still waiting, you know. I'm waiting. And the Packers defense has given up 360 yards rushing in the first two games. Dalvin Cook had 90 in week one. David Montgomery had 122 yards in week two. So I would assume that Fournette, and we were asking, are you worried about his workload? Because this will be the most, if he stays at this pace, this will be the most that he has ever carried that rock. And he's already got a little bit of a hamstring, but the coaching staff says they're on it. Not at this point. I think that's what Leftwich said. Not at this point. So there's a couple more things. I don't want to go too heavy into what happened. Listen, if you're following Joe Bucks fan and you're listening to this podcast, I'm damn sure you know what happened with the Bucks and the Saints, you know, and same thing with the Packers and the Bears. Maybe a lot of you haven't followed the Packers as much. I would assume the majority of you are Buccaneer fans. The defense, Brady had lost four straight regular season to the Saints. Brady threw that touchdown. It was the go-ahead to Breshad Perriman. Brady also said this week that he's got to control his emotions. He is a GOAT. He's unbelievable. But he's also a human being. And he also gets pissed off. And the majority of the time he can control that. And sometimes you get so pissed off and that affects you. And he said he's got to do a better job in that. You know, the shouting at Lattimore, and then Lenny did the shoving, and then Evans ran in, he flattened Lattimore, and both got tossed, and a one-game suspension for Evans. But basically, the GOAT and the offense struggled for three quarters. And then Jameis Winston did what he did many times here as a Buccaneer, three picks in the last 12 minutes. Jamel Dean, the first of two picks. Mike Edwards had the third pick, 68 yards to pay dirt, 20-3 at that point. Jameis had said afterwards, I got to do a better job executing on third downs, and I can't give them the football. But we have seen that over and over again. And just a couple of real little quick things. After the Jamel Dean did say that Jameis's eyes, he read Jameis's eyes on the first interception. Jameis just locked in on the receiver. He knew exactly where he was going. We all know about Devin White when he was on TV and said, we knew that he throws picks. You know, Bowles told us. We knew he was going to give us the ball. I don't have a problem with all of that. What was he lying? Bowles on the defense. Here's something that was interesting. Well, what's the difference? Why is this Buccaneer defense in these first two games been lights out compared to last year? And he said that they want to be good. They watch more film and they know what's coming. They're able to anticipate it. That's huge. That's the reason why. This isn't a fluke. It isn't just like they trained harder and worked on some ball handling skills, trying to catch, you know, interceptions, things like that. No, it's they. And I had heard that. I remember even in June at minicamp and Anton Winfield and some of these guys, like, we want to be really, really good. We want to be great. Like, this is it. And they're putting in the work, the film work. And that's what Bowles said more than any other that he's ever experienced. So that's the deal on that. The Packers, the Packers, so much better in week number two. They were up 24-7 at halftime. It wasn't even a game. Aaron Jones, 132 yards, one touchdown, one TD catch. Packers had 203 yards rushing. And then Rodgers was 19-25, 234, two touchdowns. But again, Sammy Watkins was his guy. Rodgers did hit eight different receivers, so he was moving around. But Sammy Watkins is not playing in this game. All right, before I get to just a little bit more, we're going to wrap this baby up here. I know you're ready for the game, man. I know. Listen, maybe you do this for the next one. We got three home games in a row here. Maybe before you're going, if you're just having your party in your man cave or in your house, go to Burger Monger. You want the most delicious Chop House burgers that you've ever had? Hand-pressed patties, ground chuck, sirloin beef, everything hand-pressed on the grill to a perfect char. The flavor is unreal. They got a whole bunch of cheeses you can choose from, different toppings and sauces, and the shakes, the Burger Monger shakes. Oh, all natural hand-scooped ice cream, hand-spun, thick and creamy, and it's topped off with whipped cream and a bunch of toppings. Here are your shake flavors. Cookies and cream, chocolate fudge, very vanilla, simply strawberry, caramel crave, and Snickers Supreme. And maybe instead of a burger, maybe you want a chicken sandwich. It's the best. It's a large marinated chicken breast. You can get it grilled, fresh breaded, or you can get it deep fried. And the sides, natural cut fries, sweet potato waffle fries, house-made hand-battered onion rings. And for a limited time only now, at either their St. Pete Burger Monger, Carrollwood location, Safety Harbor, and Wesley Chapel, it is the LFG Burger. Two patties, chopped lettuce, provolone cheese, applewood smoked bacon, fresh avocado slices, and on top, a drizzle of peppercorn ranch dressing. It is a winner, LFG Burger, limited time now for only $12. You cannot beat that. So listen. I don't know about this game because I don't know. I'm hoping I am wrong. I really am hoping I'm wrong. I don't bet because I am not ever going to bet against the GOAT. But his hand is bothering him a little bit. He doesn't have Evans and he doesn't have Godwin. And Julio Jones is a game time decision, hasn't practiced all week. And it's going to be slim pickings. So far, that offensive line has done a good job. It's going to come down to, can the Buccaneers defense continue what they're doing? They're playing lights out. Can they stop this running attack? Aaron Rodgers, a lot of the defensive players were so, what is it about Rodgers? He gets rid of it so quick and he spreads it around and he likes to throw to his running backs. It's going to be a hot day. He usually doesn't do good down here in the heat. There's going to be cheeseheads. It's the 4:25 start. It's the late game. It's Sunday. The tailgating is going to be through the roof. People are going to be lit. It's going to be loud, and I cannot wait. This is Bucks Kickoff Podcast on JoeBucksFan.com. It is the best badass, the best by far Buccaneers site for information. Let me leave you with this. And if you haven't had a chance, when Ira Kaufman, the Sage, is out at Big Storm Brewing Company, I went out for the second half last week and sat there with Sage. And it's great to watch the game with him. I had a mimosa, was delish. I even went with the quesadilla, chicken quesadilla. Oh my God, I brought home two more pieces. I didn't even eat the whole thing. It was so good. And my wife even enjoyed that. So I had a check mark. I was a good boy. Thank you, Big Storm. But we had a fan come up, and he's been a long time Buccaneer fan. He was wearing his jersey. He came over to Sage, and he high-fived us. And he said, I got to tell you, man, I just love Joe Bucks Fan because you know why? It's quick. I get the most information. I get it. I quick. Boom. It's not long. I get it. It's the best. There you go, man. That's from a diehard Buccaneer fan. I couldn't put it any better. So enjoy this game, and we'll see you back here next time for Bucks Kickoff, baby. Let's go.